If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Beginning with verse 1. John chapter 6, verse 1. John writes, "Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite.' Another of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. 'Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?' Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.' There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, 'Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted.' So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, 'Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world.' Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself." As we come to this familiar story, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Father, again, we look to you this morning. Lord, sometimes my concern is that we do stories that most of us have heard over and over and over, that we don't learn what you would have us learn today. So Lord, open our spiritual ears to hear what your spirit would have us to hear this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. With the opening words, "sometime after this," or as some other translations have, "after these things," John once again made a big jump in time. Depending on which feast of the Jews he meant back in John chapter 5, verse 1, when John wrote in verse 4 of chapter 6, the Jewish Passover feast was near, the time between the healing at the Pool of Bethesda, back in Jerusalem, chapter 5, and the feeding of the multitude in Galilee in John chapter 6, is anywhere between 6 months to a year. During this time, many other things took place. Some recorded in Mark chapters 3 through 6 and Luke chapters 6 through 9. Time also included Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount, as well as Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead in Matthew chapter 9. See, John was selective in what he included in his gospel. In John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, he wrote, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The four Gospels record over 30 different miracles that Jesus did during his three-year ministry in Galilee and in Judah. But only 2 are recorded in all 4 Gospels. One is the feeding of the 5,000, and the other one is obviously Jesus' resurrection. All of Jesus' miracles were astonishing. But this one of feeding the 5,000 men plus women and children demonstrated Jesus' power over nature more impressively than any other miracle. In terms of the number of people affected, it was also the largest of his miracles. Although John included more about this miracle than the other Gospels, he didn't explain why Jesus and the 12 disciples went to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. So to help out a little bit, turn to Mark's account. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, beginning verse 30. Mark 6, beginning verse 30. Mark writes in verse 30, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them,
Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. See, the disciples had just returned from a preaching mission where they'd gone out two by two. Jesus knew that they needed time to rest, time for more teaching. It's kind of a debriefing at the end of this mission trip. So Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Matthew added that they had just heard about the beheading of John the Baptist. Matthew 14, verse 13 adds, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Basically, Jesus went into the wilderness to be alone with his disciples. The Lord wanted some time alone with his disciples in the mountain, but they weren't going to have the luxury of peace and quiet for long. A crowd was gathering at the base of the mountain. While Jesus was alone, a multitude, made up mostly of thrill seekers, people who wanted to be entertained by watching Jesus do more miracles, this group continued to gather and grow in the flat plain at the foot of the mountain. Luke 9, verse 11 says that after a while, Jesus welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed some who needed healing. But a problem soon developed. Matthew explains, at evening, or as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. This was the problem. How to feed the people. The disciples wanted to send the people away so they could forage for food by themselves. But Jesus had a different plan in mind. So he said to Philip, where should we buy bread for these people to eat? See, Philip was from the area, Bethsaida. Philip was the first disciple. He'd been there when Jesus had turned water into wine. He had seen the other miracles that Jesus had done. But Philip's faith, and to be fair, the other 11's faith as well, was lacking. And he answered hopelessly, 200 denarii, or 8 months' wages, wouldn't be enough bread for each one to have a bite, let alone a meal. Too often, I think, we're like the disciples. Everything hangs on money. But Jesus was simply testing the strength of Philip's faith. Unlike Philip, Andrew at least tried to find a solution. He reported to Jesus that he had a little boy who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Mark 6:38 records that Jesus had commanded the disciples, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. So maybe, we don't know, maybe Andrew was reporting the results of his search. Or maybe the search took place after his report and further confirmed the dismal reality. There just wasn't any food. And after telling what he had found, Andrew added somewhat skeptically, but what are they among so many? Andrew's response showed that he, like Philip and the rest of the 12, failed the test of faith. After all they had seen, they didn't have faith in the power of Jesus to provide. The disciples had little faith. But Jesus had the solution. He had it from the beginning. Jesus would feed the people. He didn't rebuke the disciples for the lack of faith. Instead, he put them to work. He said, have the people sit down. Even though their faith was small, maybe non-existent, the disciples could still obey. Matthew adds, the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So allowing for a reasonable number of women and children, the total number of people was probably somewhere around 15,000 people. John then wrote, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Jesus multiplied the food, but the other Gospels record that the disciples had the joy, the privilege, if you please, of passing it out to the astonished crowd. Jesus could have miraculously passed out the food to everyone by himself, but he wanted the disciples to be involved. He wanted the disciples' faith to grow. Think about it. Jesus, God, doesn't do things in a small way. Instead of a little taste of food, a bite that Philip mentioned, everyone ate as much as they wanted. The disciples then gathered the leftover food and filled 12 baskets with the leftovers of the barley loaves. Jesus not only supplied enough food for the hungry crowd, he also provided enough food for the next day for the disciples. The result was understandable. The crowd was amazed. Astonished by the miracle which Jesus had just performed, the people said, "Surely this is a prophet who has come into the world." With the Passover near, see, the people were remembering Moses' prophecies. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. To see about this prophet. Deuteronomy chapter 18, begin verse 15. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. Moses writes, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb or Mount Sinai on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die.' The Lord said to me, 'What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I'll put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account.'" The people had seen Jesus create food. He'd fed them like Moses had fed the children of Israel in the manna in the wilderness. They'd seen Jesus heal the sick. They were ready to make him their deliverer, their Messiah, their benefactor. John wrote, they intended to make him king by force. With him as their provider, they would never want for food. They would have the potential to be healed from every issue. With Jesus as king and Messiah, they would be free from the Roman oppressors. But Jesus hadn't come to be that kind of Messiah or king. He didn't come just to feed them and heal them, let alone give them victory over Rome. Jesus came to die for them. So knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, Mark says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after leaving them, he went up on the mountain to pray. The miracle? Jesus and his disciples went first off in the wilderness to be alone. But a crowd was gathering. The problem was how to feed the people. And on top of it all, the disciples had little faith. The solution? Jesus would feed the people. And as we see, God doesn't do things in a small way. The results? The people were amazed. They wanted to make Jesus king. So Jesus sent the disciples away. And Jesus went into the mountain himself to pray. There's things we can learn from this story ourselves. First, we need to trust Jesus Christ. It's easy to look at Philip and the rest of the disciples and wonder, where in the world was their faith? They'd seen Jesus do so many miracles, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain's son from the dead. So when a different type of problem came along, they should have looked at Jesus and said, "We don't know how, but we know you can take care of this problem like you've done everything else." But instead, they would have driven the people away or tried to feed them in their own strength. Don't we oftentimes fall into the same trap? Something unforeseen comes our way, and the first thing we do is try to fix it ourselves. We don't go to God. We don't ask him to intervene or to give us wisdom in what we should do. James 1 verse 5 reminds us that if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Later in chapter 4 verse 2, James adds, "You do not have because you do not ask God." Rather than getting all stressed out over how to solve a problem, we need to turn to God. Peter eventually learned the lesson. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he wrote, "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Let's learn from Philip and the apostles and go to our Lord and Savior in faith. We, like the disciples, need to learn to trust Jesus. Writing from experience, Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, verse 20, "God can do anything, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams." As well as trusting God, We need to give him all that we have. The little boy didn't have much to offer. But look at what Jesus was able to do with one little lunch. He fed over 15,000 people. We may not have much to bring to Jesus, but he can use what we have. Think about it. If that little boy had refused to share his lunch, there'd have been one less miracle recorded. It may well be that the world has denied miracle after miracle because we will not bring to Jesus what we have and what we are. Little is always much in the hands of Christ. We're not the movers and the shakers of the world. We don't have a lot to offer God. We're kind of like the little boy and his lunch. Or perhaps the widow and her two small copper coins. But all that God wants from us is that we allow ourselves to be used by him. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. God can do great things with each one of us and with this church if we'll only trust him and give him all that we have and all that we are. And finally, Jesus will not be manipulated or used. Jesus won't be manipulated or used. The crowd wanted Jesus on their terms. And what did he do? He left them. We can't come to Jesus Christ on our terms so that he can heal our relationships or make us successful in life or help us feel good about ourselves. We must come to him on his terms, humble, repentant of our sins. Peter on 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up in due course. Don't come to Jesus trying to snow him or putting something over on him. As he said in Jeremiah 17, verse 10, I am the Lord, I search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. God can look at the motive. Don't try to play games with him. He knows what's inside your heart. He will not be manipulated or used. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, begin verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, hung onto, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, Lent is a time when people are encouraged to give up something for Lent. Something particular that draws their hearts, their minds away from God. But rather than giving up chocolates or a favorite meal or a podcast, I would challenge you to give up yourself. Humble yourselves before God. Trust him. Give him all you have and all that you are, and you will be amazed at what he will do in and through you. Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Give yourselves completely to God and see what he will do with you and through you. Let's pray. Father, that's not our American culture. Lord, we talk about drawing myself up by my own bootstrap. I can do it myself. Lord, help us to learn from what we see in the scriptures. Lord, that if we give ourselves to you, you can accomplish so much with us and through us. Lord, help us to follow your model of being willing to humble yourself for the sake of others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.